Democrats do not have a lot of time to figure out what went wrong in this year's election. President Obama will soon face a more Republican Congress and an approaching re-election campaign. The question of what went wrong is on the mind of Richard Wolff. He wrote a book on Mr. Obama's 2008 campaign and has now published a book called Revival. The word revival in the title refers to the administration's narrow success in passing a health care law. Now Wolff says the White House is seeking revival again.
Their feeling is that they haven't been able to connect properly with voters. They haven't been able to say what they're trying to do, or either on the economy in terms of the Recovery Act or about healthcare, and they got outmaneuvered in any number of different ways. Now, as many people say, these are people with considerable communication skills. There's no shortage of talent inside the White House, and they have a huge communication staff. So the question is, why? And that comes down to identity. Who are these people? What are they trying to do? It's an unresolved debate for them. And until you can resolve that, you can't communicate properly.
Isn't it also kind of the easy answer to say, well, our policies are correct, and Americans, if they only knew, would agree with all of our policies. We're just not advertising correctly here, basically, is what
right.
they're saying.
Well, it is easy. The polling also, though, suggests that people are confused. Polling shows that people blame the Bush administration and Wall Street for the economy, but they don't think that the president has a clear idea about how to create jobs. On health care, which is supposed to have been the big conclusion coming out of this election, opinion's pretty much divided. There are grounds to feeling that there is a big communications problem there, and that gets you into this fault line between these two rival camps competing for attention, for message, for direction. And that debate goes on in the president's head, too.
When you say these two rival camps, what are you talking about? Inside the White House, you're
right? Inside the White House. So you have two camps that I call the revivalists and the survivalists. The people who want a revival of the campaign spirit to the campaign identity, and they feel that they've lost that brand, that vision, that sense of reform, that sense of being an outsider.
The word change, the word hope, that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then you have the survivalists, for want of a better word, the Washington crowd, who believed that you had to compromise, you had to make deals, the backroom deals, you had to do whatever it took. And these two pieces of the White House have left the grand message, the grand identity questions unresolved. And I think they're unresolved because the president hasn't resolved them. He has a foot in both camps.
I'm thinking of a quote from an interview that was given by President Obama to Peter Baker of the New York Times. It was published just before the election, in which Obama said, "I feel that I've been painted as another, quote, tax and spend liberal." But when you look at the $800+ billion stimulus plan, I wonder if part of the reason he was painted that way and had trouble communicating is because he actually was. I mean, the practical effect of his policies headed in that direction.
Except that a third of that $800 billion was for tax cuts.
Right.
There are lots of people who got those tax cuts and they'd have no idea where the money was coming from. They thought it came from their employers. So, you know, here's a situation where you're trying to be all things to all people and you end up being nothing much to anyone.
Meaning that you had this bill that had conservative ideas in it on some level and nobody knew.
Just like healthcare, where you start off basically with a Republican idea, private sector-based, reforms to the market, and yet he gets painted as this socialist government takeover of healthcare. Again, it does come down to what are you trying to do here? And if you're trying to please everyone, if you haven't decided whether you're the insider or the outsider, yeah, you're going to have communications problems. You're also going to have election problems.
So you've got the president with an identity problem. You've got a staff that divides in different ways along these lines. Can you give me an example of two personalities and the way that they clashed on the revivalist side, as you say, and the survivalist side?
The sort of leader of the survivalist camp was Rahm Emanuel, chief of staff. He was 100% loyal. This is a quote, 100% loyal to the president, but he thought half of his decisions were insane. You know, and their idea here was a guy who understood Washington, who would make these deals, who would compromise. And yet, they didn't figure out that he could not bend to the ways of the campaign, didn't understand it. And in their view, in the revivalists' view, he sought to undermine what they'd done in the campaign.
Rahm Emanuel.
And on the revivalist side, you've got a number of people like David Plouffe, who would never join the White House, but who's likely to go back in. You have communications people like Anita Dunn, who is director of communications, Dan Pfeiffer, and to some degree, David Axelrod. There were real tensions for him. He felt that, much like the president, they had to shift from campaigning to governing. And what they woke up too late to was the fact that the other side, the Republicans, never stopped campaigning.
I wonder if there's a useful contrast here with the previous president, President Bush, who was accused of oversimplifying the world, but could get credit for saying that my goals are very straightforward. I stand for a handful of things. I'm going to go absolutely all out for those handful of things, and that's what I stand for. And by contrast, you have President Obama, who sounds like, as you describe it, trying to do too much.
Right. Well, What the White House would say is they achieved a lot in that first year. Maybe people don't know about it. So on a domestic basis, clearly they have an impressive record by any standards of recent presidents. But in terms of the messaging, in terms of the mission, if you go around asking people, what did President Bush stand for? They come up with some kind of variation on killing the terrorists, the war on terror. If you ask people now, if you ask Democrats, what does this White House stand for? They're struggling. And I do think that comes back to this identity question of the revival of the campaign versus the people who wanted to just survive and get by.
You described the president as just about tearing up, fighting back tears, yes, when health care is finally signed.
Yeah. And I think that's a really important question here. Why did this guy end up being so stubborn? Why did he risk so much? This was clearly a decision that his own chief of staff didn't agree with. And there were other senior advisors who thought this was insane, lunatic, to risk the presidency on it. The tearing up moment isn't just fascinating for me because this is a supposedly emotionless guy who very rarely shows any public emotion. It really answers the question why he wanted to do this. And it comes down to the memory of his mother. So his mother passed away because of cancer. Her experience in her final days and months was about struggling with insurance companies over the question of pre-existing conditions. And if you listen to the president, what does he talk about most? It's about insurance companies quibbling with patients about pre-existing conditions. And he tears up. It's strange that people didn't kind of notice it. In all of the hullabaloo around the signing in the East Room, he can barely keep it together. And that's very, very rare to see a president, especially this president, who is struggling, fighting with himself to hold back the tears.
Now that he knows the price, at least in this fall's election, does he still think it's worth it?
He goes around telling people that he would rather do big stuff and be a one-term president than small stuff and be a second term. And so all those people who say he should be more like Clinton, he should have gone small, not done health care, backed away, that's not his self-image. In that sense, and this is not going to please partisans on either side, he's kind of like President Bush. The stubborn self-image of saying, I'm here to do big stuff, I don't care what the price is. The difference, as you suggested earlier, is that Bush had a simple, clear message and he would repeat it until everyone was sick of it, including himself. This president feels like everyone's heard it already. You know about this stuff, right? You know what's in healthcare or the Recovery Act. Well, it turns out people don't.
Richard Wolff is the author of Revival. Thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.